at verse number 7. And the Bible says there in Lamentations chapter number 5, verse number 7, the Bible says, "Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquity. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hands." Skip on down to verse number 19. Notice what it says. And the Bible says in verse 19, "Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation." And it says, "Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we will be turned. Renew our days as of old, but thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us." And so what we're going to look at here tonight is God visiting the iniquity upon the third and the fourth generation. We saw there in verse number 7, it said, "Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities." And so we're going to look at that here tonight, visiting the iniquity upon the third and fourth generation. Now, how long is a generation? Generation is typically between 20 to 30 years. And so if we took the low estimate and said that God was going to visit iniquity unto the third and fourth generation, well, that would be 60 to 80 years, wouldn't it? And so Judah, when they go into captivity, how long are they in captivity? For 70 years. So they're right there in that range where God says that he will visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation. Now, go to Exodus chapter number 20. Turn back over there in verse number 4 of Exodus chapter number 20. And look what the Bible has to say there. Exodus chapter number 20. And look at what the Word of God has to say there. Exodus chapter number 20, look down at verse number 4. And of course, in this chapter, we have the Ten Commandments. Now look at Exodus chapter 20, and look down at verse number 4. And the Bible says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of" who? "Of them that hate me," the Bible says. And verse 6 says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Now in that commandment there, we see two things right there. First of all, in verse number 6, those that love God, what do they do? They keep the commandments of God. And those that hate God, what are those that hate God doing? They are bowing down to idols. They are worshiping idols. And what we need to recognize is that people who bow down to idols, they hate God. And so listen, yes, Catholics, they hate God. I mean, anybody that is in some other religion that is bowing down to idols, not keeping the commandments of God, they hate God. And you might say, well, how is that possible? I mean, they go to church every single week, and they do all these works, and they do all these good things, and they work in these charities. How exactly do they hate God? I mean, I thought from their zealousness for their religion that they love God. But here's the thing you have to understand. The God that they are worshiping is not the true God. The God that they are loving is not the God of the Bible. The God that they are loving and worshiping is a false God and is even a demon, a devil that they are actually worshiping. Now, do they realize this? Many of them know. But what do we see here in the Bible? That they hate God. Because listen, if a person loved God, they would keep the commandments of God. And so if we go to Exodus chapter number 20, and we see the very first commandment in the Ten Commandments is not to bow down to an idol, not to make an idol, and then we go to somebody's church or we go to their home and they have a statue of Mary, they've got an idol, you go into their church and they've got all these idols all over the place. Are they actually loving God when they are directly going against what the Bible says? No, because if they actually love God, they would do what God says for them to do. And you have to recognize that they do not love the God of the Bible. They have a completely different God. Now, I understand this is a hard concept for young Christians and for Christians that are babes in Christ to understand this. That they just can't wrap their mind around, can't wrap their mind around the concept that their loved one might actually hate God. And listen, I'm not saying that that person can't be saved. That person still can be saved. There are people in the Bible that at one time hated God, but they did get saved and they can be saved. Because listen, a reprobate is somebody that hates God, but a reprobate also is filled with all unrighteousness. There, you read Romans chapter number 1, and they're filled with all of those things, not just a hatred for God. But listen, somebody, these Catholics and these other religions that are worshiping other gods and not abiding by what the Bible says, they do hate God. And you know what is evident about to us about that? That if you were to confront a Catholic with Exodus chapter number 20 and show them what the Bible says, are they going to obey what the Word of God says, or are they going to continue praying to their saints? Are they going to continue going to that Catholic church and bowing down to those idols? So if you directly show them what the Bible says, what are they going to do? They're going to go with their traditions that they have been taught by men over the commandments of God. So therefore, they don't love God. They love the things of the world. They love their religion. And they actually hate God. And listen, I don't have to prove it any further because the Bible flat out says it right here. That those that bow down to idols, what does it say about them? That they hate God. And God will visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of those that hate God. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and look at verse number 19. See what the Bible has to say there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and look at verse number 19. And look at what the Bible has to say there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And verse number 19, look at what the Bible has to say there. And the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 19. What say I then, that the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to who? To devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Notice this. Do we provoke the Lord to what? Jealousy. And it's amazing in both places, in Exodus 20 and in 1 Corinthians, when we're talking about idols and idolatry, that it mentions God being jealous. That by bowing down to these idols, we provoke the Lord to jealousy. And we'll talk about that here tonight. But notice here, those things that the Gentiles are sacrificing to, those idols that they're bowing down to, who are they actually bowing down to? Who are they actually sacrificing to? Are they sacrificing to God? No, the Bible says they are sacrificing to devils. And this might be hard for you to understand or to even believe, but those who, and listen, you may have relatives that go to a Catholic church, and you may sit there and say, well, they appear to have a love for God. They seem to love God. They go to church. They do all these things. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says the things that they sacrifice to, they're not sacrificing to God. Who are they sacrificing to? They're sacrificing to devils. When they bow down to that idol, when they bow down to that statue of Peter or Paul or whatever saint they have or Mary, that's not Mary. That's not Peter. That's not Paul. It's a devil. Is what it is. It is a demon, and it is wicked, and it's straight out of the pit of hell. And the Bible commands us to flee from idolatry. But yet these Christians today, so-called Christians in Catholicism, and in any other religion that does this as well, what are they worshiping? They don't love God. they are worshiping demons and devils, and many of them don't even realize it, do they? Many of them are bowing down to these things, and they don't even realize that that is a demon or a devil. Now, look back at what the Bible has to say, and go to Jeremiah chapter number 2, look at verse number 27, and see what the Bible has to say there. By the way, the Bible told us there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 there, it said that ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. So either it's one or the other. Either you're going to serve God and you're going to love God, or you're going to serve the devil and you're going to love the devil. And that is exactly what Catholicism does. Let me ask you, does Catholicism have the right gospel today? No, they have a false gospel, don't they? They're preaching a false gospel, a works-based salvation, and thereby condemning people to hell. And if they have a false gospel, they have a different Jesus, then are they loving the Jesus that we love? No, they're not. They're loving an effeminate, queer, sissy-looking Jesus is who they're loving. A Jesus that has that long hair. Hey, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible had short hair. The Jesus of the Bible was a man's man. The Jesus of the Bible was a strong man. The Jesus of the Bible was a man, not this queer, effeminate, sissy-looking thing that you always see in the Catholic Church and all these paintings you see. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Well, because the Bible tells me that it is a shame for a man to have long hair, right? That is a shame. And why is it a shame for a man to have long hair? Well, it is a shame for a man to have long hair because he is made in the image of God. And let me tell you something. Jesus is the express image of God. Thereby, listen, if we are made in the image of God and Jesus is the express image of God, then what does that tell us? That tells us Jesus had short hair. That tells us Jesus wasn't this effeminate, sissy-looking thing that the Catholics portray out there. Won't surprise me if the Antichrist looks like that someday. Look back at what the Bible has to say here, Jeremiah chapter number 7, or chapter 2, and look down at verse number 27. Jeremiah chapter number 2, look down at verse number 27. The Bible says this in Jeremiah chapter number 2 and verse number 27. If I can get turned over there, there we go. The Bible says, in fact, let's look back another verse. Look back at verse number 26. The Bible says, as a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stalk, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have not turned their back unto me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they will say, arise and save us. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods. Now notice, who have they turned their back on? By bowing down to a stalk, by bowing down to a stone, they have turned their back on God. Then tell me, how does somebody who worships a false god, that worships an idol, how exactly are they loving God when God says, when you do this, you've turned your back on me? That's exactly what they've done. Every single Catholic, when they bow down to a statue, they are turning their back on God. Because that statue cannot hear, that statue cannot answer their prayers. They're bowing down to an image instead of bowing down to the one true God. Now take your Bibles, go to Jeremiah 13, look at verse number 10. And look at what the Bible has to say there, Jeremiah chapter number 13. And look at verse number 10. And notice what the Bible has to say, Jeremiah chapter number 13, verse number 10. And the Bible says right there, Jeremiah 13, verse number 10, this evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Now notice, this people that is walking after other gods, that's walking after their imagination of their own heart. Does God say they're good people or evil people? They're evil people. And you know, people that will see the Word of God and yet they will go contrary to what the Bible says, they are not good. They are evil and wicked people walking after the imaginations of their hearts. Doesn't matter if they're a good neighbor. Doesn't matter if they seem to be a good person in this world. They are following the imagination of their own heart. They want a God. They want a religion that is of their own making instead of what God shows us in the Bible. And that's why Christians are now falling into this thing of, well, we don't have a religion, we have a relationship. Can't tell you how many times I've heard Baptist preachers even say that we don't have a religion. I got news for you. We do have a religion. Because a religion is a set of commandments and beliefs that one follows. Now listen, don't we have a set of commandments that we follow? Don't we have a set of beliefs and doctrines and dogmas that we follow? Absolutely. So listen, we do have a religion, and relationships not in the Bible. But you know what is in the Bible? Religion is in the Bible, and pure religion is mentioned in the book of James. And that pure religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know what keeping yourself unspotted from the world is? Following the commandments of God. Following the words of God. Because thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, that is a religion, but today people don't want a religion. You know why? Because they want to justify how they live their lives. They want to justify their wickedness. They want to justify their adultery. They want to justify their fornication. They want to justify that they're shacking up with their boyfriend, their girlfriend. They want to justify everything about their lives, and then they turn around and tell you, "Don't judge me." They turn around and they use that statement from the Bible. The only two words that they actually know out of the Bible is "don't judge me." I mean, they don't want to go to the other places where the Bible does tell you to judge, where the Bible does tell us to do righteous judgment, where the Bible does say that a spiritual man, he which is spiritual, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Hey, you don't want to be judged of man? Then keep the commandments of God. You know, then you will have no need to be judged by others if you judge yourself. That is what you see in the Word of God. Look back at what the Bible has to say. Where did I tell you to go? We're in Jeremiah 13. Go to Romans chapter number 1. Look at what verse number 18 says in Romans chapter number 1. And see what the Word of God has to say there. Romans chapter number 1. And look down at verse number 18. Romans chapter number 1. And look at verse number 18. The Bible says in Romans 1 verse number 18... "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their what? Imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Notice here, what is the route of somebody that becomes a reprobate? The route of somebody that becomes a reprobate is that they knew the truth, they held the truth in unrighteousness. They reject the truth of God. They make an idol after their own imagination. They made an image after their own imagination of what they could imagine that God is like. And isn't that exactly what people are doing today? That people today want a God after their own imagination. And so they shape or they mold an idol, or even if they don't go into just blatant idolatry, they will form a God in their own mind that's of their own making. A God that is only love and not judgment. A God that is only mercy and not righteousness. A God that only loves them and has mercy and has grace, but does not have wrath and does not have judgment and that does not have righteousness. And this is the God of the world. And they will say, well, we all just have the same God. And you know what? I had a lady when I was in Canada, I was out soul-in. And I had a lady that when I was out soul-in talking to this lady, she told me at first, well, all gods are the same God. I mean, your God is my God. They're all the same no matter what Bible you use, no matter what religion. Doesn't matter whether you're Buddhist or Muslim or Christian, whatever it is, just all gods are the same God. And so I showed her who the God of the Bible was, and she went, well, that's not my God. That's a different God. And I told her, well, you told me that all gods were the same gods, didn't you? You told me that the God of the Bible was the same as your God. And I actually got her to admit, and I said, so the God that you have is not the God of the Bible, but is a God of your imagination. And she went, well, that's a good way to put it. She recognized it. She knew it, that her God was a God after her own making. And that is exactly what people today want, is they want a God after their own making. They want a religion after their own making. They go after their own imaginations. Their foolish heart is darkened. They, thinking that they are wise, become fools. And that is exactly where our nation is headed today. And you know what? That's why Catholics today, many of them won't get saved. You know why? Because they hate God. Because they do not love God. Because they do not want the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is a different God that they do not have. Listen, this is why we will never join up with Catholicism. We will never join up with the Pentecostals. We will never join up with the Presbyterians or the Methodists or the Buddhists or the Muslims, because we have a different God. And what fellowship hath the people of God with idols? What concord hath Christ with Belial? But yet there are independent Baptists today that are joining up with other religions. I mean, Pastor Al Stone from Canada, what did he say? Some of you might have saw the video that I put out about him. And he said, if the Pentecostals had revival or any other denomination, if they have revival, we will go there, we will support that, we will take part in that. And he's an independent Baptist preacher, president of Bearing Precious Seed. And what is he saying? He's saying that he would join up with any other denomination. Did you hear that? Any other. So the Pentecostals, the Catholics, whoever, he would join up with them. And he said, our Pentecostal brothers. Hey, I got news for you. The Pentecostals aren't our brothers. The Pentecostals are children of Belial. I mean, listen, some of the most hateful people I've ever met out souling were Pentecostals. I mean, you try to give a Pentecostal the gospel, and they get angry real fast, don't they? And listen, you have to know your stuff with a Pentecostal, because at first, that Pentecostal will tell you, yeah, salvation is by faith through grace, not of works. You don't get it by works. But what else do they believe? They believe you can lose your salvation, and they believe if you continue to live in sin and you don't repent of your sins, that you will lose your salvation. Therefore, by your works, you have to keep your salvation. Thereby, you are working your way to heaven. That's works-based salvation, and will never join up with the Pentecostals, will never join up with a man like Billy Graham. We'll never join up with Franklin Graham. We'll never join up with the non-denoms out there. You know why? Because they are serving a different God. They hate the God of the Bible. And as we get closer and closer to the ends, you need to be aware of this. And listen, you need to be aware that in Matthew chapter 24, the Bible tells us that there shall arise false Christ and false prophets doing great signs and wonders, that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Listen, those false prophets, they're going to do great signs and wonders. No, I don't doubt whatsoever that these false prophets have the power to do some supernatural things. You know why I don't doubt that whatsoever? I preached on this when I was in Canada, but you know, if you look in the Word of God, weren't there false prophets that did some great signs and wonders in the Bible? How about Pharaoh's magicians? What did they do? They turned their rods into serpents. I mean, they did just what Moses did. I mean, they turned water into blood. They did just what Aaron did there. I mean, they did some of the same miracles. You see those in Matthew 24, they'll do signs and wonders. You see the Antichrist and his false prophet, and that his false prophet will call fire down from the sky. I mean, they are going to have the power to do some great signs and wonders. And listen, it doesn't matter whether they do great signs and wonders. You stick with the Word of God. Because if you love God, you'll keep His commandments. And if a false prophet comes to you, or a dreamer of dreams, as we see in the book of Jeremiah, that if God allows that man to come to pass, and the Bible says the sign or the wonder that he prophesies come to pass, God is allowing that into your life because God is proving you to see whether you love Him or not. Because if you love God, you'll keep the commandments of God. But you know what? These that bow down to idols, they don't love God, do they? They hate God because they love another God. They're worshiping Satan. They're worshiping the devil. They're not worshiping the God of the Bible. Now let's take our Bibles. Let's turn to somewhere else in the Word of God. Take your Bibles and let's go on to James chapter number 4. Look what the Bible has to say there. James chapter number 4. And look what the Bible has to say there. James chapter number 4. And look at verse number 4 when you get over there. James chapter number 4 and verse number 4. See what the Word of God has to say there. James chapter number 4 and verse number 4 comes right after the book of Hebrews, right before 1 Peter. James chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Notice what the Bible has to say. And the Bible says right there in James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is what? Enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If you are a friend of the world, the Bible says that is enmity. Now, what does that word enmity mean? That word enmity is a stronger word than hatred. I mean, it's even stronger than that. If I said you had hatred for God, this word is stronger than that. Because not only does it mean that you have hatred for God, it actually also means that you have hostility towards. And so if you have enmity towards God, you hate God, and you have hostility towards God. And so you know what? These that bow down to idols that love the world, they are not friends of God, they're enemies of God. They have enmity for God, they hate God, they hate the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, they have hostility towards the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, don't we see that with a lot of elderly Catholics? I mean, listen, sometimes the ones you usually reach when you reach the Catholics is usually a younger one, right? And the older ones, when you talk to them, they want nothing to do with Christ. You try to give them the gospel and you try to ask them that question if they know for sure that they're going to heaven and they want nothing to do with Christ. And many times I've had them, they've had hostility towards me. They've had hostility towards the Word of God. They've had hostility towards the gospel. I mean, I had one Catholic lady not too long ago that basically told me, the only reason I'm being nice to you is because you have your sons with you. And listen, I hadn't even gotten into the Bible yet. I mean, all I had asked her, I'd invited her to church. And when I invited her, she said, I am a practicing Catholic. And I said, all right, well, that's good. Do you know for sure where you're going to heaven? And she continued to tell me what she told me from that point on. She did not want to hear the Word of God. She had hostility towards Christ. You know why? Because she hates God. She hates the God of the Bible. And these Catholics out there, they do not love God. And you need to get this into your mind that this is what the Bible says, that they hate the Lord Jesus Christ, that they hate God. The reason why they will not hear you is because they hate God. Now listen, am I saying that they just cannot be saved when I'm saying this? No, they can be saved as long as they're not reprobate yet, right? They can be saved. That's why we go. Every house we go up to, if they had got an idol out front, don't we still knock on their door? We sure do, right? If I thought they were all just reprobates because they had idols and they hated God, I wouldn't be knocking on their doors, would they? If I saw an idol out front, I'd just turn around and I'd go on to the next house. Hey, if that were the case, by the way, I wouldn't be here in New Orleans. Because this city is completely full of Catholics and idol worshipers and people that hate God. And isn't this just this city evidence of what we're talking about here tonight? Right. That one of the cities in America that hates God the most, that loves the things of the world, that is a promoter of wickedness, a promoter of drunkenness, a promoter of drugs and alcohol, and a promoter of fornication, a promoter of adultery, a promoter of the wicked nightclubs and the pornography, and a promoter of the gay pride and all this sodomy that's out there in the world. And what a coincidence that just happens to be a Catholic city. Just happens to be a city that's full of idolatry, and we see that this city hates God, don't they? They absolutely hate God. Many of them want nothing to do with God because they are worshiping devils. And because they're worshiping devils, they hate God. Look back at what the Bible has to say. Go to Revelation chapter number 9. Look at verse number 20. Revelation chapter number 9. Look at verse number 20. I got news for you in the future. You would think that when God's judgment passes on this world that, you know, people would turn back to God, right? You would think that, but many times they don't, do they? In fact, in the end times, they're not gonna. Yeah, there'll be some people that get saved, but the majority of them are going to hell. Look at what the Bible says in Revelation 9, verse number 20. And the Bible says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship," what? "Devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk." So in the end times, what is going to take place? I mean, when this judgment falls on the earth, and listen, they just had two bad judgments. The bottomless pit opened up, and there came out the locusts that tormented men for 5 months. And those men, it was such a horrible torment, and will be such a horrible torment, that during that time, they will seek to kill themselves. They'll seek after death, and they shall not find it. I mean, think about it. During that time, it's going to be so bad that they will literally want to kill themselves and even try to kill themselves, and God won't let them die. You say, how exactly is that going to happen? I don't know, but God can do it. I mean, listen, I mean, say somebody is about, they're about to jump off a bridge, they want to kill themselves, and God just sent somebody along to pull them back up to keep them from jumping off. They want to blow their brains out with a gun, and God just makes the gun misfire. They can't do it. They can't kill themselves during this time. Such a horrible torment that's on the face of this earth, and yet they still won't repent of worshiping their idols. Why is that? Because they hate God, and their iniquity will be visited upon them unto the third and fourth generation. And listen, not only that, it gets so bad here that we see these other creatures that come on the earth, this army that comes on the earth, and there's 100,000 of them according to the Bible, and that they come and they kill a third of mankind. I mean, a third of mankind is wiped out by this army, and yet they still won't repent of their idols. Why is that? Because they hate God. They love the world. They love the things of the world. And if any man love the world, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of God, but is of the world. And they love the things of the world, therefore they have enmity for God. Now look back at what the Bible has to say in Deuteronomy chapter number 5. And look at verse number 8. Let's move on from that point. I think I made my point on that one. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Look at verse number 8 and see what the Bible has to say there. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. And look at verse number 8. Y'all got to listen up a little quicker here tonight. We're going to be here another hour or two. Look back at what the Bible has to say. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. And look down to verse number 8. And the Bible says this. In Deuteronomy chapter number 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says right there, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them." Notice this. "For I, the Lord thy God, am a what? Jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." You know, God is a jealous God. Now, many times when we think of jealousy in this world, you know, because of how we use it in our society, it can have a negative connotation, right? I mean, sometimes when we talk about jealousy, we're kind of referring to what is actually called covetousness in the Bible, or being envious. But in the Bible, jealousy is not the same as that. Jealousy is when you desire that which belongs to you. Envious or covetousness is desiring that which belongs to someone else. And so God is a jealous God. Why is he jealous? Because he's the one that deserves worship. I mean, think about it. He's the creator of the universe. He created everything that's in this world. He created the earth. He created you and I. He created the tree, the rock, the gold, the silver. And yet mankind, instead of creating or worshiping the one that created him, then takes that which the creator made and worships the creation rather than the creator. Don't you think that makes God angry? Don't you think that makes him jealous? Because he is worthy of worship. And one thing you never see in the Bible is where God gives man the right to worship whoever he wants. Listen, if God gave you that right, there wouldn't be a punishment for that, would there? But there is a punishment for that, isn't there? Pretty big punishment, because if you worship another god, what's the punishment for that? Death and where? Hell, right? You're going to go to the lake of fire forever and ever to be tormented forever and ever. That's a pretty bad punishment. You know why? Because God is a jealous God. Because he is deserving of all worship, and he ought to be worshiped by all mankind, and he has never at any time told man just to go worship whoever they want to. You know, our Constitution that we have, you know, tells us that we are, in the Declaration of Independence, tells us that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, right? And that we have the freedom of religion. Hey, that's the United States Constitution that gives you that. God did not give you that. God never gave man the right to worship whoever he wants. Now listen, are we going to force people into worshiping God? No. But you know what? One day in the future, I'll show you, God will make them worship him. God will force them to worship him. And by then, it will be too late. Right? Because every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will bow, they will submit, they will worship the one true God, but for many of them it will be too late, and they will be cast into the lake of fire because God never gave them the right to bow down and worship a stone, to bow down and to worship a tree, something that they had fashioned with their own hands. Now look at what the Bible has to say in Exodus chapter number 34. Look at verse number 13. Exodus chapter number 34. Look at verse number 13 when you get over there. Exodus chapter number 34 and verse number 13. And the Bible says this in Exodus chapter number 34, verse number 13. As soon as I get turned there, there we go. Exodus 34, verse 13, the Bible says this. "But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord whose name is what? Jealous is a jealous God." Not only, hey, you better be careful about saying that jealousy is a bad thing, because jealous is a name of God. And for you to say that would be blasphemy, wouldn't it? Because jealous is a name of God, and He is a jealous God. It's an attribute that God has. You see, jealousy in its true form is what the Bible defines as not a bad thing. Desiring that which belongs to you. Isn't it a righteous thing, a good thing for a man to be jealous over his wife? Yes. I mean, she should not be with another man. She should never go with another man. And for that husband to be jealous over his wife is a righteous thing. That's a good thing. That wife belongs to him and he to her. And you know what? We belong to God. And all creation has been created for a purpose, and that is to glorify God, to bring pleasure to God. And when they go away from God and they're not bringing pleasure to God, He is a jealous God. And because He is jealous, He will visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of those that hate Him. Because they go and worship an idol and worship a false god, He is jealous over that, because that worship does not belong to that devil. That worship does not belong to Satan. That worship does not belong to that idol. That worship belongs to God and only to God, and He is jealous over them. Take your Bibles, go to Numbers chapter number 5. You know what, let's get past that just for time's sake. I was just going to give you more of the meaning of jealousy, but I already gave that to you. Let's go ahead and go to Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and look at what the Bible has to say there. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. And look at verse number 23, Deuteronomy chapter number 4. And look at verse number 23. And the Bible says this in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 23. The Bible says this. It says right there, Deuteronomy 4, verse number 23. And the Bible says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke Him to what? Anger." Listen, when you provoke God to anger, when you have provoked God to jealousy, it won't be long that there is judgment that comes on that nation. This nation is not going to last forever. This nation is provoking God to anger. We are provoking the Lord to jealousy by creating a God in our own image, by creating a religion in our own image. Remember, Jesus Christ said, "The Father seeketh some to worship Him, and they that worship Him must do what? They must worship Him in spirit and in truth." They must worship Him the way that God has set, the way that God has defined. And when you don't, and you go out and you make a God of your own image, then you provoke the Lord to anger. You can sit there and say all you want that you have a relationship with Christ. You can sit there and say all you want that you love God, that you are trying to please God with your life. But then in the next sentence, what will you hear from a lot of people? "Oh, I just worship Him how I want to. I just worship Him how I see fit. I just worship Him in my house. We don't go to church. We just worship Him however we want to." Well, that's what you think. That's your interpretation of the Bible. But I'm just going to believe what I want to believe. Hey, when you do that, you're provoking the Lord to jealousy. You know what? That's why Jesus Christ said in John chapter number 3, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Doesn't matter how good they are. Doesn't matter how many times they go to church. If they don't believe the Son, the wrath of God abides on them. They don't have the grace of God. They don't have the love of God, because you only have access to God's grace through faith. That's how you get the grace of God. God has given to them His love. He's extended it towards them while they were yet sinners. But if they reject that, they've rejected the love of God and they're taking the wrath of God. And that's exactly what this world has because they have rejected God, and God will visit it upon the third and the fourth generation of those that hate God. And so in our generation, think about that. Think about how long that could be. When this nation finally does fall, she's not coming back. When this nation does fall, when God's wrath comes on this nation, this nation will be judged by God, and the iniquity of this nation will be visited upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. Now take your Bibles here. We're almost done here tonight. Go to Psalms chapter number 29. Look at verse number 2. I told you God told us in His Word and shows us that, you know, men do not have religious liberty. If they worship another god, God has a punishment for that. Now again, you know, we are not to go punishing people for that. That's not our place, but that is God's place. And God does punish people for that. Look at what the Bible says in Psalms chapter number 29, and look down at verse number 2, Psalms 29, verse number 2, and the Bible says right there, "Give unto the Lord glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." You know what that tells me? That worship is due unto whom? Worship is due unto God. It's not due unto an idol. It's not due unto a devil. It's not due unto Satan. It's not due unto creation. It's due unto God that we ought to worship God. But yet man today seeks everything other than God to worship. They worship nature, they worship the animals, they worship the trees, they worship the rock, they worship the stone, they worship mankind itself. Even if they don't believe in a God, they still will worship mankind, don't they? I mean, listen, these atheists, they worship man. They may sit there and say that they don't have a God, but really what they are truly saying and believing is that man himself is a God. Because they think that man can just, you know, evolve and continue to grow, and that mankind is something that ought to be worshipped, and we can just continue in evolution, and that man is worthy of worship. And one day, every one of those atheists is going to worship somebody, aren't they? They're going to worship the Antichrist, I guarantee you. When that Antichrist comes along, the Bible says, they that dwell on the earth worshipped Him whose mark they had received. They had received the mark of the beast, and they will worship the Antichrist. Look at what the Bible has to say in Psalm 66. Look at verse number 4. And the Bible says in Psalm chapter number 66 and verse number 4, and the Bible says right there, Psalm 66, verse number 4, "All the earth shall worship Thee." Uh-oh, what did the Bible just say? All. Did it say some? No, it said all the earth shall worship Thee and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name, Selah. Hey, that is prophetic, isn't it? Because you know what? Now is all the earth worshiping God and singing to God? Has all the earth at any point throughout history worshiped God or sang unto God? So that's prophetic, isn't it? What do you think that's prophetic of? Hey, how about the millennial kingdom? That at that time, God, Jesus Christ, is going to force everyone to worship Him. And yes, I said force. Now listen, He does not force them to believe, because there were many at that time that still won't believe, even though they will physically see Christ ruling and reigning on this earth, and yet they will still reject Him. But at that time, if they do not worship Christ, they will be punished for that. We'll look at that here tonight. We'll go to Psalms 86 before we go there, and look at verse number 9. Psalms 86, and look at verse number 9. See what the Bible has to say. Psalms chapter 86, verse number 9. And the Bible says right there, "All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name." Hey, did it say some nations or all nations? All nations will. When is that going to take place? We'll go to Zechariah chapter number 14, And look at verse number 16 when you get there. That's still in the Old Testament prophets there. Zechariah chapter number 14. And look at what the Bible has to say. Zechariah comes right before Malachi. Malachi comes right before Matthew. So that should put you in a good ballpark to find that. Zechariah chapter number 14. And look down at verse number 16. See what the Bible has to say there. Zechariah chapter number 14. Look at verse number 17. Or verse 16. Zechariah 14, verse number 16. And the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of the tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them all shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles." Now this is talking about the millennial reign of Christ. And Christ is forcing them to come and to worship the King and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They're being forced to come and worship, and if they don't, He's going to punish their nation. If they don't, He's not going to allow it to rain on their nation. And if there's no rain, then what does that mean for the nation? No food, right? So there's famine, there's people starving, and if they still won't come, then there's going to be a plague, there's going to be disease upon that nation. So listen, show me religious liberty right there. Anybody see it right there in the Bible? During the millennial reign, are you going to have the right to just worship whoever you want to? No, Christ is going to make sure that you worship Him. Now again, does God force them to believe? No, because God is not a Calvinist, right? We don't believe in Calvinism. We reject it. There will be many that do reject God that will be destroyed after the millennium. But during that time, He's going to force them to come up and to worship and to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. That's what the Bible says there. So where is religious liberty there? It's not in the Bible. Now again, we don't have the right to go enforce that right now at this time. But you know what? Christ is going to enforce that then, isn't He? The law of God is going to go forth from Zion. And in the law of God, what is the law of God? Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And if they do, what do you think God's going to do during that time? He's going to destroy those images. He's going to punish those nations who will not worship Him. Hey, Jesus Christ told Satan in Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 10, When Satan was tempting Him, what did Christ tell him? He told him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." Go to Revelation 4, and we'll finish this up here tonight. Revelation chapter number 4, look at verse number 10. And the Bible says there, in Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, in Revelation chapter number 4, and verse number 10, the Bible says right there, "The four and the 20 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Why is it that God is worthy of worship? Why is it that He is the only one that should be worshipped? Because it is God that created the universe. It is God that created everything. And is there any one of us that falls under that category? Did the tree create the universe? Did the stone or that gold or that silver or that idol that man fashions with his own hands create the universe? Does that idol that the Catholics have of Paul or Mary or Michael the archangel or whoever they have, did that idol create the universe? Did that devil that they are worshiping create the universe? No, it didn't. The only one who did is God, and therefore he's the only one that's worthy of worship, and that's why he's a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of those that hate God. Listen, this is why we need to take the gospel to the world. Because there are many out there that hate the Lord. You may not have realized it before this sermon, but the Catholic hates God. That person that has an idol, that has that statue of Mary out in front of their home, they hate God. But you know what? They need to be saved, don't they? They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we have to go out there and we have to knock those doors and we have to give them the Word of God and we have to give them the gospel, because there are many that hate God. And if they don't turn away from that, they will be punished. If they don't repent of that sin of worshiping an idol, and listen, yes, that is a sin that you have to repent of to be saved. You have to repent of worshiping an idol and turn to God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And if they don't, then the iniquity will be visited upon them. And it's very possible that it will be visited upon their children and their children's children. Why? Because they hated God. So you know what? There's a warning for you too, by the way. If you don't want your children to be punished by God, then you know what? Maybe you should love God. Maybe you should keep the commandments of God, and God may bless your children for your sake. Think about Solomon. Solomon was blessed for whose sake? He was blessed for the sake of David. I mean, Solomon had a covenant that God gave to him because God made that covenant with David. Why? Because David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that loved the Lord his God and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left, saving in the manner of Uriah the Hittite. That's the only time the Bible tells us he really turned aside and wasn't loving God. Other than that, David did not turn to the side. He loved God all the days of his life. And when he was corrected in the matter of Uriah the Hittite, he acknowledged his sin. He repented of it. He got it right. He took the punishment that God gave to him. And he loved the Lord his God all the days of his life. And because he loved the Lord his God, his children were blessed. So listen, do you want a blessing for your children? Or do you want a curse? Well, if you want a curse, go ahead and hate God. And if you hate God, your children may be punished. Iniquity may be visited upon them because of you. That's what the Bible says, that those that hate God, God will visit the iniquity upon them unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, but showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Let's end in a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us here tonight in your word. I ask that you'd help us to take these things, to search them out, to study them out, Father. We thank you for all that you've given to us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed tonight.